Hey, welcome. Good afternoon. Happy Monday. Happy Victory Monday. It's Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Tom will be back tomorrow, so don't worry. It's a one-day special of Joe Beamer here, and I apologize if you can hear the labor going on. Is that what the work going on? There's hammers, there's drills, there's a lot of noise around us in the studio today. I'll try to talk over it, but if you hear something in the background, this is me apologizing ahead of time. Now, I was going to start with talking about the Bills, and I'm going to get there talking about how annoying, again, if you watched the Sunday night game, and I did, again, Taylor Swift is very popular. I understand that. She's probably the most popular person in America, in the world right now. Okay, I'm not taking away from that. And happy to see her and Travis Kelce start this relationship. And you can tell they're in the very early phases of their relationship. Remember that? Remember that when you were early on in your relationship and all you wanted to do was spend time with this new person that you were falling for? You remember that, right? I'm like, that was a moment to let you remember that. That's where Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift is. I'm very happy for them, right? Happy for them. Hope they have a long, successful relationship. And if they don't, hopefully they can move on and continue to have very successful careers, which they both have. But we're not starting there. That's where I was going to start with the Bills. I was going to then move on to the Taylor Swift stuff. But that's not where we're starting. Because there is something that I have just, that has bothered me for a long time. You've heard me talk about it. These bands that tour around without their original lead singer and still call them the band. I will say this. The one band that does it right, Queen, obviously, we tragically lost Freddie Mercury 30 years ago. But when they tour, at least they say Queen with and the person doing the lead singing. They've never in my lifetime toured as just Queen. It's Queen with Adam Lambert. All right? They put it in the title of the show. Foreigner does no such thing. Journey does no such thing. Foreigner, I did not realize Lou Gramm was not the lead singer for Foreigner anymore until I went and saw Foreigner. And if I hadn't gotten free tickets from work, I think I would have been very upset. Well, anyway, I was, on the site formerly known as Twitter. I just can't say I was on the X. I think people might start questioning that, and there might be some complaints given to the station. So on the site formerly known as Twitter, and I saw Lou Gramm and his All-Stars are performing in Rochester this weekend. Now, Lou Gramm, again, the original lead singer of Foreigner. You know all those great Foreigner songs you hear? He was the one singing. He's not currently touring with Foreigner. Foreigner's on their last tour, by the way. Just if you hadn't heard. So I thought, well, that's interesting. Let's see how much Lou Gramm is charging for tickets compared to how much Foreigner without Lou Gramm is charging for tickets. And, we'll see where we go from there. Now, again, Lou Gramm left Foreigner in 1990. I don't know. Maybe you're not familiar with Foreigner's work. Their hits were before 1990, just to put that out there. Lou Gramm will be at the Kodak Center this weekend. You can get tickets as cheap as $61.45, which is a pretty good deal to see Lou Gramm and his All-Stars. Foreigner is in Cincinnati, Ohio, the following Saturday. The cheapest ticket right now in Cincinnati, Ohio, $184 to see Foreigner without Lou Gramm. I'm sorry, I don't get it. No offense to Foreigner. I went and saw the Foreigner with the lead singer that's not Lou Gramm. They put a fine show on. I enjoyed myself. I went and saw Journey. Right? Journey without Steve Perry. They put a very good show on. I wouldn't have gone to that Journey show if it wasn't for Def Leppard. And then I see this, like Lou Gramm's doing shows as cheap as $61. A week later, if I want to see Foreigner, it's more than double that. And I don't understand it. And it's something that's always bothered me. And I'm sure there's people yelling at the radio now going, Joe, what the hell are you talking about? It's a continued series of Joe talking about bands that really are cover bands. And that's how I won. It wasn't even on my mind 13 minutes ago, but as I was sitting here getting ready for the show, I had my prep all in front of me. I just saw this little tidbit go on my screen that Lou Gramm's doing a show in Rochester. And I thought, you know what? The listeners know where I stand on this. I have to make a mention. And there's my mention. That's it. That's all I'm mentioning of it. No texter. We're not doing a repeat show. I just thought, hey, it's a continuation. And when I see stuff like that, I'm going to bring it to your attention. And that's how we're starting the show. Now, to how we really were going to start the show. Let's pretend we're starting the show. Bump, 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 bump. Hey, happy Victory Monday. Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly. What a game yesterday. And I have to say, this is a Bills team that thrives on doubt. And I love it. This is a team, as we saw the last few seasons, when everyone is picking them, when everyone expects them to at least get to the AFC Championship game, they come up short. This year, not only are people talking about the Bills' window closing, they're talking about the Bills not even being the best team in the AFC East, which, again, only 4 weeks into the season, we don't know. But in the offseason, all we were hearing it was, well, the Bills have a real competition now. And the Bills' path is not as clear. And the window is closing. You had Sports Illustrated picking the Bills to be a wild card team in the playoffs. Yet, this week, after Miami put 70 points up on a Denver team that would probably struggle against some college teams, so they were getting all the hype. All the hype was Miami. Miami was doing the trash talking, right? Even their social media doing some trash talking to Buffalo and Bills Mafia. Well, the Bills really shut up the doubters. But here's the one thing I have to say. Keep doubting. The Bills do better when you don't believe in them. And we are seeing that week after week after week. Yes, the opening game, let's forget that, right? That was, we'll get the mulligan in November. Let's forget the Monday night game to kick off the season. A lot of hype, a lot of everything going around, the surrounding circumstances with all the Aaron Rodgers, and then he gets hurt four plays in. Let's forget the first game of the season. This is a Bills team that's out to prove something. The last few seasons, this is a Bills team that's been trying to play to expectations. But when the expectations aren't to where they can actually play, it seems like they're playing better. And I think yesterday was a statement win. Now, there's a few things they need to address, obviously, with Trey White out. And it was you hate to see that. And, you know, you just felt so bad for him because he instantly realized what had happened. And you could just see the anger, the sadness, and the pain. So you just feel awful for Trey White. You really do. I mean, here's a guy that fought to come back. He was getting back to his peak playing and now out with another injury. Again, this is something that Von Miller and a lot of other players are talking about to replace turf with grass, that you would see less of these injuries. The Bills will have grass in 2026, but for the next few seasons, we'll still be playing on turf at Highmark Stadium. But it's a statement win. And now the Bills go over to London. You've got a 9:30 a.m. kickoff. By the way, there won't be Hardline next week. I'm sure no one's surprised by that news. A 9:30 a.m. kickoff against the Jaguars team that won pretty convincingly against the Falcons yesterday. So I've got to ask, with the Bills having a dominant win against a Dolphins team, when all you've heard this week is how good the Dolphins offense is because they were able to put 70 on Denver. Let me tell you something. I can't wait until Denver comes here on a Monday night. Wait and see. I'm not saying the Bills will put 70 up. I'm saying the Bills could probably put a pretty good show on. Have your expectations changed? Did you think one thing and after 4 weeks of football, your expectations have already changed? And your conversation the day after a Bills win, how much of your day conversation on Victory Monday revolves around a Bills win? Let me tell you, it's really all anyone's been texting me about. It's really all we talked about this morning when I was here 5 to 9. It dictates the conversation in Western New York. Monday conversations, when the Bills actually play on Sunday, Monday conversations are dictated by what the Bills did or didn't do. How's that looked for you today? Your expectations? And after a game like that, maybe you were one of the many that weren't at the game. By the way, I sold my tickets. I actually watched the game on TV. It was an enjoyable sight watching it on TV, but was there some of me a little upset that I had sold the tickets? Of course. A little bit of me would have liked to press rewind, maybe go in the DeLorean and get those tickets back. But hey, there's always the next home game. Are you after a game like that on Ticketmaster right away? Are you looking to go to the next game? See what the cheapest tickets are for the next 3 or 4 home games? And see which one you can get in the door the cheapest. Does that take place? Again, I've had season tickets for a long time. So for me, I'm not sure of that perspective. Of, oh, the team's win, the team's really good. Let me see what I can get on the secondary market. So I'd like that. I'd like someone to kind of give me that experience and tell me what the thought process is after you see a 28-point victory against a team that's supposed to be challenging you for the division. And with the Bills playing at 9:30, right? We've got some, Brian was talking about this morning. We've got some bars that got the special exemption. I saw Tully's on Transit. They're advertising all around the bar that they'll be open 9 a.m. for the 9:30 Bills game. They have a bunch of specials going on. The kitchen opens at 10:30. Are you doing anything special? Are you going to London? I'd love to talk to you if you're going to London. But are you doing something special for the 9:30 game? Having a breakfast party? Going to a bar? Going to a viewing party? And what's that game day meal when the Bills play at 9:30 a.m.? I'd be very interested in that. Now, you heard Brian talk about it. I'm sure we'll talk about it as the week goes on. Brian's having a party, and we'll be there. And I'm excited for that, you know, and he's got everything planned out. There'll be coffee. I'm sure there'll be some other beverages that you can drink in the morning and watch a football game. I like to see people having fun with it. And have you shifted things around? I'm really interested about Sunday. Has your church moved the service to before the game? I've heard of a few doing it. Has the place you go to worship on Sunday, are they doing a special 8 a.m. service? Again, I've heard of a few places doing that. I'd be interested in if that is a place that you go to, if maybe you were part of getting in the ear and saying, hey, let's move this service up to 8 a.m. I remember as a kid, and this is when the Bills were awful. I remember as a kid, when we would have a long service and, you know, 12:30 would roll around and I'd be tapping my foot on the floor. You know, of course, my parents would say, be quiet. I got that a lot in church. You know, Joe, be quiet. But I remember, you know, a longer service, and I grew up Presbyterian, so we didn't really have long services. It wasn't an every week thing. Usually we'd be out on time at noon. But, you know, when you do communion once a month instead of every week, the communion service usually takes about an extra 15 to 20 minutes. So when you're used to being home by 12:15 and you're still sitting in the pew at 12:20 and it's a 1 o'clock kickoff, you know, 13, 14 year old Joe Beamer's getting a little antsy. Like, can we get moving? Again, that's growing up as Presbyterian when we're not used to longer services. Our worship is an hour or less. Like I said, I've heard of a few places doing that. but I'm not sure. Maybe your place of worship is 803-0930, star 930. Any good ideas for a morning Bills game? But I'm very interested in how your expectations change game by game. Is the Dolphins win a expectation-changing victory? For me, it 100% is. Because as I said on David Bellavia's show Friday in the 1:30 segment, I told David, I think the Bills squeak out a victory 34-31. They did a lot more than squeak out a victory. For six drives, it was boom, 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 boom. And then the Bills said, all right, we're done playing around. This is our game. And I loved seeing it. But that's a lot better of an offense than I was expecting to see. And an even better, obviously a better defense than I was expecting to see. So my expectations have definitely changed. You know, I'm sitting there yesterday hoping for a squeaked out victory so they could be leading the division. Now I'm thinking, okay, Miami is not the challenge to the Bills that we thought. The Bears are who we thought they were. The Dolphins are not. And now I think it's reasonable to expect the Buffalo Bills to repeat again as AFC East champions. And I also think it's reasonable, even after 4 weeks, the way this offense is clicking, without any kind of major injury, I think it's reasonable to think the Buffalo Bills will be in the AFC Championship game. And you might be saying, Joe, you're a homer. How can you say that 4 weeks in? Again, let's put it in perspective. I'm also, after Virginia Tech beat a very bad Pittsburgh team, thinking that the Hokies are going to go 6-6, right? Which a lot of people would say I'm crazy. So yes, I do have a bit of a bias when I'm talking about my teams. But I think after yesterday, again, the beginning of the season, the Dolphins were the challenge. The Dolphins were the challenge to the Bills. And the Jets, because of Aaron Rodgers, and unfortunately for the Jets, and unfortunately for any football fan, you don't want to see someone out for the season. Even if you can't stand the Jets, I think it's unfortunate to any football fan that Aaron Rodgers is out for the season. It is unfortunate. It's sad. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish the Jets were the challenge they were supposed to be. But without Aaron Rodgers, I don't think you can say, even though the Jets beat the Bills, that the Jets are going to challenge the Bills for the AFC East. So I think it's reasonable to say the Bills will win the division again. And I think it's reasonable after yesterday to say the Bills should be in the AFC Championship game. And after the way Kansas City played last night, is it crazy to say the Bills? I'm not setting my expectations to Super Bowl appearance, but after yesterday, and again, this changes week by week. If they lose next week to Jacksonville, we're going to have a different conversation on Monday. But after yesterday, I think I'm quite reasonable to have expectations of a division win and an AFC championship appearance. What about you? 803-0930, star 930. Am I way off? And again, how are you approaching the 930 game? Like I said, sorry, spoiler, Hardline will not be on next week, but I'll make it up to you in the following week, I promise. Hardline not on next week. A lot of things either being moved around, being moved around. Let's say that. We're seeing a lot of things moved around. Some bars are opening. Maybe you work at that bar. Maybe you own that bar. Give us your perspective. Did you get the exemption? Are you opening early for a 9:30 Bills game? And what kind of business are you expecting at 9:30 on a Sunday for a London Bills game? 803-0930, star 930. Lots of other stuff to get into. Believe me, we will not spend the whole show on the Bills. I promise you that on WBEN. Good pickup. That's what we were talking about. Little Foreigner. You can see Lou Gramm in Rochester this weekend for under $70. That's the voice you're hearing on that recording right there. Just, sorry, I know. I said I wasn't going to go back to it, and I went back to it. It is Beamer in for Bowerly here on a Monday. I'm in a goofy mood today. You ever just wake up in a goofy mood. You know, it's you're yourself, but you're just in a goofy mood. You know, I don't know. Maybe I wake up. Maybe people think I wake up like that every day, but today just a little goofy mood. I don't know how to explain it. But that's the mood I'm in. 803-0930, *930, asking your expectations after yesterday's Bills victory and any interesting plans for the 9:30 kickoff on Sunday. Also, so the Jacksonville Jaguars are already in London. They played a game yesterday against the Falcons. Anyone with kids or grandkids watch the Toy Story game cast that ESPN was doing as an alternate feed? No lie, and I hate to throw people under the bus. I came in here yesterday for Hardline, and there were two guys from GR watching the Toy Story feed in the newsroom. And hey, I mean, they were enjoying it. That's great. But, you know, I'm sure my nephew, who's two, I know he enjoyed watching it. Okay, in 2 years, I will watch that with my son, of course. It's a great idea, and hopefully in 2 years it's a little more actually synced up with the real broadcast, because I did talk to a few people already who watched it with their kids, and it was, you know, at the beginning kind of lagging behind the traditional feed. They missed a few plays, but by the end, I mean, and this is just how good technology has become. In the end, it really was synced up with the real game. So, I mean, it's a fun way for kids to get into football and something for, you know, kids to watch, because until a certain age, you know, it's difficult to get a child to sit through an entire whatever game, sporting event, whatever it is. So it's nice that they have, you know, something that, you know, oh, this is in the form of a movie I like. You know, I think that's cool, and if they can do it, and it can be something that can you can follow along and develop a love. I mean, I, as if you haven't picked up on it, I love sports. I mean, that's just, I've always loved sports. My dad loves sports. You know, I mean, I was born into this sports loving person that I am, and I want my son. And if he doesn't, I will respect that, of course. But I want my son to also love watching football and baseball and hockey and, you know, and basketball and you know, any sport he wants to watch. I hope I can pass that along. And with stuff like this, like the Toy Story game, if that, you know, gets them into understanding sports at a young age, hey, I think that's awesome. Something else that was going on in football. So those topics are open at 803-0930, *930. And this is something that David, I know, talked about in the noon hour. So you're probably like, Joe, do you have to talk about it too? But, you know, I mean, come on. Did you think I wasn't going to talk about the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing? Now, like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm happy for them, whatever. It's two people, and they're trying this thing that we've all tried called love. You like that? You like how I put that? I should write songs. And like I said, they're obviously in the early stage of their relationship. You know, that stage where you want to be with each other all the time. You know, like I said, the early stages of any relationship. But it's getting to the point of ridiculous. And let me say this. I think anything that brings in more fans to the NFL, that's great. Welcome. But, you know, I know a lot of women who are diehard football fans. I know a lot of women that know a lot more about football than I do. So I think it's kind of ridiculous, some of these people that are saying, oh, Travis Kelce is making football watchable for women. Like, number one, I think that's kind of insulting to women, right? I mean, oh, they need Taylor Swift to be dating someone for them to get into football? Like, that's kind of insulting. Again, like I said, and I think if you live in Buffalo, you know, I mean, there's a lot of women that are really into football and probably know more, like I said, more than I do about football. So this idea that Taylor Swift is making football more friendly for women, I reject that. But I also don't understand, if you've never watched football before, okay? If you're not a football fan, and that's fine. I know we have a few listening because they text in and say, Joe, move on to something else. But if you've never watched football before, I just don't understand the mindset of, oh, Taylor Swift, this person whose music I really like, is dating a player and she's going to be at the game. I think I'll watch the game now. Do they think she's going to break out into concert at halftime? Like, I just don't understand why now, oh, Taylor Swift is there. I have to watch the game. I just don't get that. It's not resulting in numbers. According to TMZ, last night's Sunday night game was down 4 million viewers from the week before. And by the way, the week before, they were on Fox. It was a split coverage game. Last night, they were on NBC. The whole nation sees it. And it had 4 million less viewers. Again, I wish them nothing but the best. You know, hopefully it works out for them. But does it need to be the talking? And I love Carson Daly, okay? I grew up watching TRL, Total Request Live. I mean, it defined afternoons for years. It actually was probably the last decent show. I mean, and this is coming from someone who watches Jersey Shore, so take that as... It was probably the last really good show that MTV had that actually had to do with music, okay? So, nothing against Carson Daly. But the explaining the Chiefs-Jets matchup, telling them welcome to New York, which is misleading because they play in New Jersey. Like, that's just... It's a little much. And again, I'll go back to... Are you really flipping the game on for the camera to show Taylor Swift every time the Chiefs do something? I mean, the first Chiefs touchdown was by the running back who is from New Jersey. He was playing in his home state. That should have been the talking point. Instead, they panned to Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift's not dating the running back. She's dating Travis Kelce, who, by the way, did not have a touchdown last night. Interesting point. Like, the running back from New Jersey scores a touchdown. His name is escaping me now, Tanner, and that's why I'm...
Isaiah Pacheco.
Thank you, Isaiah Pacheco. As you could see, I knew it. It was on the tip of my tongue. Because I almost bet any time touchdown score, and I didn't, because I don't bet. But if I was a betting person, I would have placed that bet. Isaiah Pacheco, from New Jersey... has nothing to do with Taylor Swift, except he plays on the same team as her boyfriend. And instead of talking about, oh, what a great moment this must be, scoring a touchdown in his home state, they show Taylor Swift high-fiving Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. I thought that was a little ridiculous. Tanner, did you have the same thought? What were you thinking when that happened?
I mean, yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, we don't need to see Taylor Swift every 5 seconds. But you know the NFL and their infinite greed, I'm sure they view Taylor Swift as a marketing tool more than anything, even though it may or may not be working. As many times as they can shoehorn her into the broadcast, they're going to do it just to tap into that untapped potential with the market.
But how long is that going to last? I mean, really, how long is it? Because eventually it's going to get stale for everyone, including the Swifties.
Do you see what the NFL put in their bio, like their Twitter and Instagram bio? Like, the Chiefs are 2-0 with Swifties now, and they immediately took it out. So the backlash has already started.
Yes. Yes. And again, this is coming from someone who admittedly likes Taylor Swift's music. All right. I thought the album 1989 was a great pop album. I might have a few of the songs on my workout playlist. Be as it may, this is just a little too much. And by the way, Josh Allen is also dating a musician and actress who was at the game yesterday. Now, I didn't go yesterday. I was watching on TV. Tanner, if I'm not mistaken, 0 times they mentioned Haley Steinfeld being at the Bills game.
Not that I can recall, nor is it mentioned on the Bills radio broadcast either, because I was producing the game over in GR and there's not a single mention.
Exactly. So. Exactly. The only reason I know that she was in town is because the New York Post posted that she was with Josh Allen's mom on Saturday in East Aurora. So that was, and by the way, they've been dating longer than Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, just for people to know. I just, after a while, it's a cute story, and I'm all for, hey, I like The Bachelor, okay? So I like a good love story, a cute love story. And I was fine within the pregame them mentioning it, and even mentioning it, you know, in the opening of the game. But every time the Chiefs did something, we had to see what Taylor Swift was, how Taylor Swift was reacting to it. I think we're getting a little sick of it. And again, I wish them nothing but the best. But I'm going to tell you this right now. When the Bills travel down there in December, if she's at the game, which, fine, hopefully she is, I really don't want the game to be defined by Taylor Swift being at the Bills-Chiefs game. You know what I mean? Like, it's a fun story when they're playing the Bears. It's annoying once they're actually playing competitive games, which they did last night. And you wonder if the Chiefs keep squeaking by teams like the Jets, again, knowing the Bills lost, teams like the Jets, is the team going to get a little annoyed at it? Saying, we need the focus to be back on what's going on the field. You know, our schedule is turning from the Bears, and now we have to play, you know, teams like the Bills. Like, is it time to maybe focus back on football? You wonder if they have another game like last night where, you know, Patrick Mahomes played a great first quarter and then disappeared. You wonder if that kind of conversation is going to happen in the locker room. We'll have to wait and see. But that's my take on football Sunday and everything that happened. And I'll take your calls at 803-0930, star 930. Have your expectations changed after yesterday's big win? Are you expecting more now after only 4 weeks? Or are you listening to this saying, Joe, you're crazy. You can't change your expectations after 4 games, especially after that Jets loss that's still lingering. Okay, maybe I am. And like I said, next a week from today, I could be saying something completely different. I have a really good feeling, and I hope the doubters and the non-believers keep doubting and non-believing, because this team thrives when people are calling them an underdog. Yes, I realize Vegas didn't call them an underdog yesterday, but a lot of the commentators, a lot of the people who, quote, know it all, were counting the Bills out after Miami's big win against Denver. So all that's on the table. Your thoughts on Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, which, by the way, we're going to get to again in a different way, because there is a ridiculous opinion piece in the Washington Post. I mean, ridiculous opinion piece. Like, I should probably just go into it now since we're talking about it. But I had other things that I wanted to talk about. But there is it's a crazy opinion piece in the Washington Post that has to do with Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, and Donald Trump. And that's what we call a tease. We'll get to it later. It's crazy. I mean, this is why people don't read newspapers. And we'll get to that later in the show. However, I do want to move on. And there are a few things that I want to get to, and I'm debating what we do next, but I think for this next one, I'm going to keep it local. Because this is something that kind of we were talking about at the beginning of the summer, and it flew under the radar. But over the weekend, the Buffalo News, the newspaper for Buffalo, New York, printed its final local paper. And now the local paper is being printed in Cleveland, Ohio. Now, yes, this is a story that we addressed when it broke. And there were a lot of question marks about, you know, other publications that are printed at this printing press. But now it's official. If you had a Buffalo News this morning, it was printed in Cleveland, Ohio. Now, the Buffalo News has already been, look through a copy of the Buffalo News. Right. And again, I have the luxury of we have Buffalo News copies in the newsroom, because if you just walk into a gas station and try to buy a Buffalo News, it is $3 for what might be the thinnest newspaper offering in the United States. I'm not sure. There are. Remember the penny savers, they would call it, you know, the free paper they would throw at your door on Saturdays. There are penny savers that seemingly have more paper. Now, they might not have more content, but have more paper than the Buffalo News. So the Buffalo News, no longer printed in Buffalo. And if you look through it, if you read through it, a lot of stuff from the New York Times, the Washington Post, the AP. less and less local content. And I just have to ask you, the Buffalo News not being printed in Buffalo, New York, does that impact your opinion of the Buffalo News, of the newspaper? Like, if you're looking for a local source, do you not want something that is, I don't know, produced locally? Or does that not mean anything to you? Like the fact that they still have their sports section, they still have some local content, is that enough? Because okay, maybe that doesn't bother you that, you know, if there's a bad snowstorm, the paper might not get to Western New York. But what about the 130 jobs that were just eliminated Saturday night? And it's interesting. I don't hear any politicians calling out the Buffalo News for eliminating 130 jobs. Where are the people that called out New Era? Where are the people that stand with the union workers? Where are they? Why aren't they standing up to the Buffalo News? Why weren't they there Saturday night demanding the Buffalo News keep these jobs? Keep the paper printed locally? What's different from the Buffalo News than New Era? Anyone else interested by that? Anyone else notice there was no outcry for these 130 people that are now unemployed? You think it might have something to do with who the Buffalo News is favorable to in their articles? Their opinion pieces? You think they're going to go after the Buffalo News when the Buffalo News writes a lot of nice things about them? Probably not. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that. But I think it's a sad day. I really think as much as I complain about the Buffalo News, it was my first job, by the way, delivering the Buffalo News. As much as I complain about it, I think it's a real sad day that the major newspaper in Buffalo that has whittled away local content more and more is now not even produced in Buffalo. The Buffalo News is responsible for 130 people being unemployed this morning. It's a major story. Like, you look around the internet and it's just a blurb here and there. But it's a major story. It's a major impact. And again, we make fun of newspapers all the time. Right? I mean, I remember when we had the news opens that you can wait till tomorrow morning to get your news or get it live at the top and bottom of every hour, which is still true. But we can't deny that. I mean, the newspaper is still a source of news that a lot of people depend on. And there are still people who in the morning want to have that newspaper with their cup of coffee. And yes, I understand that Buffalo's not a big city. I'm reminded of that on a regular basis working in the media here. But I think it's sad when the major publication, the Buffalo News, and no matter who you are, you've had the Buffalo News as either delivered papers for the Buffalo News at one point. You used to cut coupons out of the Buffalo News. Maybe you were like me when the Sabres had their playoff run. You would take the front page of the sports section and hang them up in your room. But most people listening to my voice at some point had a connection to the Buffalo News or were a regular reader of the Buffalo News. Or at least on Bills Sunday, would grab that sports section to see the depth chart. And now today, you look at that paper, and it's not rare that the front page wouldn't even be filled up with local stories. It's a good chance if you pick up the paper on any day that ends in Y, there will be more national stories written from the New York Times or the Washington Post on the front page than something local. And now when you pick up that paper, you know it's made the travel across Lake Erie. Now, I know they take the thruway, but you get what I'm saying. So I want to know at 803-0930, star 930, does this change any opinion you had of the Buffalo News? Is it less local now because it's being printed in Cleveland? Or has that ship already sailed? Has it continuously been less and less local? And the 130 unemployed people thanks to the Buffalo News. You know, like I said, that kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth. These people all lost their jobs like that. And unfortunately, because the Buffalo News, the local stuff they do, especially with the editorial, is favorable to a lot of politicians in the area, so they won't stand up and call out the Buffalo News for eliminating 130 jobs. Your thoughts, 803-0930, star 930. Are you one of the 130 that were laid off over the weekend by the Buffalo News? Like to talk to you as well. Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN.